First of all, thank you very much for inviting me along. It's a real privilege. Can I also thank the police officers who are with us today giving us assistance? They've been very helpful and polite. And can I say, we want to express solidarity. I'm receiving letters at the moment from police officers throughout my constituency because the government is reneging on their pay deal at the moment. So we'd like to offer solidarity to the Police Federation and their campaign. Next year, they'll revisit that solidarity and join us on the demonstration as part of it, obviously. Let me just say, I'm very grateful for coming because it's given me the opportunity to listen to Felicity again, because she brings home the reality of the barbarity of what's going on across the world in our name. And this morning you must have probably heard the news that another soldier has died in Afghanistan. They don't record the deaths of the others, but let me tell you one story. In my constituency, I have a refugee family who from Afghanistan. We are still, by the way, we're still deporting people from this country to Afghanistan and Iraq. Some of my constituents who are in Colnbrook and Harmsworth Detention Centre will be dragged onto planes to be taken back to war zones. I have one refugee family who have now lost all of their extended family over the last 3 months as a result of a bomb from an American plane in Afghanistan. That goes on a daily basis. I met Iraqis who work for Gallup, the market researchers, and who came for the annual global conference for Gallup 2 weeks ago, and I did a reception in the House of Commons. And what they said is that they've lost 4 staff in the last 3 months, 2 of them beheaded. That's a daily occurrence. It's anything between 10 and 50 people a day dying in Iraq as a result of our invasion. In the Lebanon this morning, children will not be able to go and play out in the fields because we've already recorded 400 incidents of cluster bombs that have been dropped as a result of the Israeli invasion of southern Lebanon. Cluster bombs that were directed through this country from America using British air bases that then went to Israel and that were used in the savage assault on Cana, where they dragged the children's bodies out from that building that collapsed as a result of attack. And it just goes on and it goes on. And my fear now, and this is why we're marching both here and in Manchester and other peace initiatives throughout the country, my fear now is that we've seen what they can do in Iraq and now we've seen what they can do even in the Lebanon, is that there will be a call for the invasion of Iran. Why is it a fear? Well, the political situation is dramatically unstable both in this country and in America. We have a Prime Minister now who is not standing again for election, is therefore rendering himself virtually unaccountable to the country and unaccountable to Parliament. We have a President of the United States of America who also will not be standing for election again. And the neocons around him see this as their last opportunity to loot Iran. I used to do all these jokes about Bush as this cowboy who used to roam around. I don't know whether you saw in Greg Palast writing a couple of weeks ago. I can't do these cowboy jokes anymore because Greg Palast discovered that George Bush is terrified of horses. And every picture you see of him is on a horse that's been stuffed. You know, fair dues to the horse. You know, someone came along and said, would you be photographed with George Bush? And the horse said, well, shoot me and stuff me. I can't. The problem that we've got is that there is clearly pressure building up now for some form of assault on Iran. And why do we say that? It's because we've seen it with Iraq. In fact, they're using exactly the same arguments on Iran as they did with Iraq. They're now saying, well, it's about weapons of mass destruction because the Iranians are developing their nuclear capacity. Well, there's a savage irony in the British Prime Minister accusing Iran of developing nuclear reactors, potential for nuclear weapons, when we're doing exactly the same thing. And we're potentially capable of spending anything now between $26 billion and the latest estimates in The Guardian 3 weeks ago, $76 billion on the renewal of Trident. They also come back with the argument, well, this is a brutal regime. Well, it is. And we've been campaigning against it. 3 months ago, we were demonstrating about the brutal suppression of trade unions who went on strike in Tehran. And yet I never saw a government minister there. I've never seen a government minister raise on the floor of the House of Commons protests about that. And I've never seen any British government minister raise concerns about the oppressive regime in Colombia that we're arming at the moment, that is murdering trade unions on a daily basis, that murdered a group of journalists only 3 months ago because they reported on the truth coming out of Colombia as a result of CIA involvement. So there's hypocrisy with regard to Iran. But my fear is that's the pressure that's building up within government. We just await now, don't we, the latest dodgy dossier. That will be their next step. What do? Well, it's clear now that we do what we're doing today. It's what people are doing all over the country. We're protesting. We're demonstrating across the country now that this country in particular will not stand by and allow another military adventure. We've got to call for the end of this military alliance between Blair and Bush. This savage military alliance that's launched military adventures costing thousands of lives in the Middle East, in Afghanistan, and elsewhere. And we can do it. We can do it. Someone's mentioned this issue about the Labour Party leadership. I've been doing meetings all around the country. People turning up in large numbers, wanted to talk about politics again. Young people turning out again. And for the first time now, you feel there's a potential for change. Blair is going. But it is important now that we ensure that if he's replaced, he's replaced not just with an individual, but with a development of a movement that clearly states again that this country is in favour of peace, not war. That our role is about peacemaking rather than warmongering. That we break this military alliance with George Bush, and we link up with those other countries around the world that are in favour of peace and want to develop peace. We've looked at this concept of a ministry for peace embedded within government itself. It was developed 25 years ago in Japan, Australia and elsewhere. And it is about developing conflict prevention measures and conflict resolution measures, and it works. I wish the biggest legacy in Blair's history was the Northern Ireland peace process. The tragedy for him personally is that people will remember him from Iraq, not from Northern Ireland. If we can create peace in Northern Ireland through dialogue, through discussion, through conflict prevention, we can do it elsewhere in the world. But I also have to say we need to guard against how it's affecting us as a community. This erosion of civil liberties. Brian Hoare in Parliament Square simply reading out the name of the dead that we've killed and gets arrested. And now, even though they've framed the registration so that he continues on, nevertheless he continues the arrest. The fact that we can't even demonstrate outside our own Parliament. But also what Leslie mentioned as well. Don't underestimate what the media have done over this last few days with regard to the Islamic community. The headlines of the Evening Standard yesterday was almost farcical if it wasn't so serious with the consequences. It was guide dog banned by Muslim taxi driver. Extraordinary. And yet it's this farcical feeding of Islamophobia. The headlines of the Daily Express was riots on doorstep of Queen, Muslim riots on doorstep of Queen. And then you have Jack Straw raising this issue about the veil. What's building up is this backlash, this erosion of civil liberties, this targeting of minorities in this reactionary, I think this reactionary climate that's being developed. And I think it will fuel. It will fuel demands for the attack on Iran. So we need to demonstrate, of course, we need to put pressure on our individual MPs, our politicians, we need to speak out. And we need to demand peace. We need also to move further and start planning for peace. And one of our objectives in planning for peace, in developing concepts of conflict prevention and conflict resolution, is to say very clearly that we want a government that reclaims our own British soil. We want a government that asks the Americans to remove their weapons and to remove their bases like this, which are part of the cause of war in the world. We want them to withdraw, and we want to ensure that instead of this site being used for military purposes, we return it to agriculture. We return it for the use of the people themselves. That's what a government elected on behalf of the people, working on behalf of the people, should be doing. And I'll just give you this pledge. I'm doing this leadership campaign at the moment. When I raise the issues of peace, it has massive popular support. It has support both within the Labour Party, the trade union movement, and the general community overall. I think people are crying out for an alternative route. They've seen Iraq. They've seen the Lebanon. They've seen the threat to Iran. They've seen the consequences for our own community, and they want change. And I think all of us now have got to offer them that change, both in terms of the change of leadership for the Labour Party, but more importantly, making sure whoever is there is held to account in the future, is committed to peace. Peacemaker, not warmonger. Thanks for inviting me today.